Value creation is, in my opinion, is done through growing your mineral inventory or growing your production. And if we can continue through low-cost exploration to find more silver, and the way I look at it, Kerry, right now the company's trading at about $1 an ounce in the ground, roughly.
Okay.
But you and I know, because we've been around some bull markets in the past, the average company, not just the good ones like Dolly Varden, but the average company will trade at $3 or $4 an ounce in the ground.
The Financial Survival Network. Now more than ever. The Financial Survival Network.
Welcome. This is Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Kerry Lutz. We've got a new sponsor, Dolly Varden Silver, and the CEO of Dolly Varden is with us now, Sean Kuhn-Kuhn. I've known Sean for years now, and wanted to work with him for a long time, but the timing just was never right. But now, Sean, it seems to be a different world in our sector.
Absolutely, Kerry. And like, you know, it's been great getting to know you over the last few years, and really happy to be on today.
Hey, so, you know, you've had so many challenges over the past few years, and yet Dolly Varden has really kind of performed while others, many good companies, have really not been able to keep up with you.
No, and I attribute that to a couple of things. You know, look, I find that real primary silver mines are rare. They only represent about 28% of the market. So we have something that's rare, but what makes our company unique is where it's located. So we're in Canada versus, you know, in Mexico or Peru or Argentina, which are all wonderful jurisdictions. But I just think Canada is a place where you've got stable laws. You know, we celebrate all sorts of mining, whether it's open pit or underground. And really, without the mining industry up here in the north, you know, there's not a lot going on outside of tourism. So we need mining. And so I think because we're a primary silver opportunity, because of the location, and then the last thing is we've demonstrated some size through an acquisition and through discoveries, which has led to a lot of pretty notable shareholders, including Hecla, including Eric Sprott, including institutions like Fidelity. And I think because of those factors, like, we've been in a market, Kerry, where you've had to been a bit of a unicorn to stay afloat and to appreciate. And Dolly has demonstrated some, you know, very, very, very special things, very, very special results that's led to us doing all right during the bear market. And my experience is for those companies who do well during a bear market, you're leaders when the market turns on. And that's what we're seeing today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember when you made the Homestake acquisition, and it was like seeing a missing puzzle piece go into your whole land package. And now the results, drill results initially, been stellar.
Yeah. You know what? I never dreamed that the numbers we're getting out of Homestake would be what they are. Like, you know, if, and it's important because I'm a new company to your audience. So it's important to understand the history here. So I'll just give you a little bit of background. So this project has got 100-year history. And what we've done is we've put an entire package together. It's never happened in the past. And so, you know, we've had situations like, there's been glaciers that have been receding, infrastructure's now gone into the area, and we're making new discoveries. But by bringing Homestake and Dolly together, it gave us the critical mass, and the results we're getting up there, you know, we're drilling high-grade gold and high-grade silver over some really big bulk mineable widths.
Yeah, I saw, you know, it popped out on the screen, and I had to look twice. My eyes aren't as good as they used to be. Nearly 79 and a half grams per ton equivalent, gold equivalent, over 12 and a half meters. I mean, that's the stuff of legends.
That was actually just a straight up gold number. That 79 grams was just pure gold. And one thing I want to tell your audience, like, I was born and raised in Vancouver, BC. And so this area that we call the Golden Triangle is just northwest of Vancouver. And this is an area that if you go back to the 1920s, there was a mine called the Premier Mine. And the Premier Mine started as a silver mine. And the difference between silver and gold is gold has a higher melting temperature. So in the Golden Triangle, whether it's the Premier Mine, which now Ascot is turning back into production, or the famous Eskay Creek Mine, which is in Skeena, or Brucejack, which is in Newmont, they all started as silver deposits. But as the explorers vectored into that heat source, that higher melting temperature metal, the gold, what was a high-grade silver opportunity became known as a big gold deposit. And you and I were joking before we hit record, you know, are we going to have to change our name? It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if we found a big gold deposit on this, you know, in this historic silver complex. But go, and again, I'm a history buff. And I think whether you're talking about financial markets and understanding gold and silver's role in history, or you're talking about, you know, for me, I'm fascinated by the history of mining. This project, Dolly Varden, was the richest silver mine in the British Empire when it was in production in 1920. It was Canada's third largest silver producer throughout the 1950s. So what I inherited was an incredible rich mineral history. And then, like I said, with the infrastructure, with the glaciers retreating, and with the metal prices doing what they are today, it's very, very economic to advance these projects today.
Now you've been blessed by the weather gods. Very little snow this winter. Not great if you're in the ski resort business, but great for mining. So on the back of these really phenomenal results, you get to start the program earlier this year. Are you going to go further out? What's the plan going ahead?
That's a great question. So this month we send a team to the field, and it's the earliest start in the company's, you know, 100-year history. And so we will have drills turning. We'll have three drills turning in less than a month, but the team will move up this month. We'll get all the equipment, we'll get all the, you know, ground truthing, getting all the vectoring in. The strategy this year is, look, we're a company that's now demonstrated we have a lot of silver and gold in the ground. You know, there's something like, you know, on a heads up basis, 63, 64 million ounces of silver and 1 million ounces of gold. And, you know, if you took the current, you know, 80-to-1 silver to gold ratio and you expressed it in a silver equivalent, you're talking about, you know, just under 150 million ounces of silver equivalent. Now, Kerry, that number is out of date because we've done a lot of drilling since our last resource estimate. So some are speculating that maybe the company is pushing a much higher number because we have put about $40 million in the ground in drilling, and we've made some wonderful new discoveries. The strategy, you know, some people are saying to me, Sean, like, don't you have enough? Like, if you've got close to 200 million ounces of silver, that's 10 million ounces of silver production on an annual basis for the next two decades. Like, just wrap a bow on it and develop it now. But the question that I have is, you know, value creation is, in my opinion, is done through growing your mineral inventory or growing your production. And if we can continue through low-cost exploration to find more silver, and the way I look at it, Kerry, right now the company's trading at about $1 an ounce in the ground, roughly, okay? But you and I know, because we've been around some bull markets in the past, the average company, not just the good ones like Dolly Varden, but the average company will trade at $3 or $4 an ounce in the ground, right? So if I can find more silver for pennies an ounce in the ground, and we're going to be revalued at dollars an ounce in the ground, the strategy this year is to continue to grow mineral inventory. And there's kind of a twofold plan to that. Going into the areas that we know are either past producing mines or they're compliant deposits, and expanding and extending those known areas, which is just stepping out into areas that are open and trying to expand the mineralization through drilling. And then the other part of that is taking a step back, looking at all the modern science that we have at our fingertips, the geophysics, the geochemistry, the geology, and saying, you know, there's a periodicity, there's a repeating pattern on the project. And the question is, You know, where could we triangulate based on all this data? You know, and, you know, we're using AI, you know, we're using most cutting edge technology and good old fashioned geology and ground truthing. And we've got people in the team. I've met with two young geologists that are still in school, you know, that are 20, all the way up to members of the team that I won't tell you how old they are, but they're not 20. And so
a lot of gray hair.
A lot of gray hair. And it's that mentoring, and it's incredible where the discoveries come from. Like, we had a young geologist, Amanda Bennett. She was 30. She came and worked for us, and she was the one that sort of cracked the code and made a big discovery. And then we had Andrew Hamilton, who is who's not 30 anymore, who, you know, drilled a 93-meter hole, Carrie, 93 meters of 357 grams of silver equivalent. Like, it was 212 grams of silver, almost 2 gram gold, over almost 100 meters. And so, you know, we've got Amanda, the young geologist, making some big discoveries at the Wolf deposit. We've got Andrew Hamilton, who is, you know, enhancing the Homestake silver deposit and mentoring Amanda. And then our VPX, and this is the key. This is the key. Our VPX, Rob Van Egmond, who, if I had to give a game ball to somebody in the organization who has made the biggest difference, it's our VPX, Rob Van Egmond. He stepped out, and that hole that you cited, this 80 grams of gold over 12 meters, brand new zone, brand new discovery, one of the highest grade drill intercepts the project has ever seen, that was his doing. And it takes that team approach where you have a group that's got the chemistry, and they've, and the shareholders like Hecla, like Eric, like the institutions have given them the money. And then you've got a prospective area. It leads to what you need. And it's an exciting time for us at Dolly Varden, because this is a binary business. You either have it or you don't. And when you have it, you know, and I've been doing this for 20 years, so I have an appreciation that I've only had one other situation like this in my career. And it's the equivalent of being on a championship team, and it's special. And that's why it's important to partner with people like yourself to get that message out to the world to say, hey, this isn't just some old mine that used to work. We're bringing and breathing new life into it. And now we've got a market, it's leading to what I think is going to be a very, very successful conclusion to this business.
Wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I watched you raise money in the worst market that I personally have ever seen in my life. I mean, everybody has money, but nobody wants to give it to you now. And yet, you know, you had a recent $15 million raise, several before that. It seems like the belief in you and the confidence in the projects, really, it's surprising.
Well, listen, I work with what I would say for junior mining are the most incredibly talented investment bankers on the planet. You know, people like Jeff Zuckerman, Jeff Crane, Kevin Campbell. It's the investor's confidence in them, bringing them a vetted project that they've been phenomenal partners. So, you know, it's really the team that, you know, from the board level to the shareholders to even those investment banking consultants that, you know, it's, we've been, sometimes they say you've got to be lucky.
Touching on that, I assume that recently there's been heightened institutional interest in Dolly Varden, as well as interest from the majors. I know you're limited what you can talk about there, but just give us an indication of the sentiment of the big players, the institutions and the majors.
So look, I think it's really interesting because I was looking at a chart from about 10 years ago that looked at managed institutional money, whether it was in the UK or North America, for mining. And there is a fraction of the money today that there was, like maybe 1/10. And so one of the things that I think we have done well in our office is being able to go out and tap non-traditional institutional money, right? Like, I spend a lot of time on the road, you know, going to places like Germany, Switzerland, throughout the United States, talking to people. And the reason I say Germany is a country in the modern world that understands gold's role in devaluation. You know what? And, you know, going back after the First World War with the Weimar Republic. So it's, you know, it was never taught to me here in school in North America. You know, gold's role, right? You know, I'm 43 years old, and you know, when I went to school, it was never taught. However, you know, my parents came over from India, and they came over with some gold. And I, for years, Carrie, I thought they were crazy. I thought, what are they doing? They're exchanging their hard-earned, hard-saved dollars for gold. And it wasn't until I started, you know, to meet people like yourself and people like Rick Rule, and started listening to people that had an understanding and appreciation for the precious metals and the role that they played over the last 5,000 years, that I woke up to what real money is. And so in terms, like, we've had to be non-traditional in our approach, but in the last week or so, I'm starting to get some inbound calls from institutions. I had one institutional fund manager call me last week, and he was able to increase his funds, assets under management, by 30%. And he's a large manager. And so there is a lot of money. And I don't know if it, Carrie, if it's money that's on the sidelines or if it's money that's rolling over from other sectors, but there seems to be this shift into metals, battery metals, you know, the precious metals. And so what I'm seeing out there anecdotally is financings that were struggling. You know, the little company that was trying to raise the $2 million is now completing a $6 million transaction. For me, it's never been about trying to raise money. It's been more about trying to raise the right money. Like, and so thoughtfully explaining to the investor, saying, okay, look, it's going to take me this long for my business plan. You know, it was about matching money with duration. And it was about saying, can you give me a chance to build a business? And in the case of Hecla owns 15% of the company. They're the fastest growing established silver producer in the world. They want the metal. So having a partner like that, who's looking at, is Dolly Varden the next pipeline project? Is it the next Greens Creek? Or having a guy like Eric Sprott, who is, you know, Eric doesn't need to sell shares to make a mortgage payment, right? Like, he also has a belief that silver's going to $300 an ounce. So he's going, Sean, I'm in your corner, and I got your back. And, you know, he led our last financing and went over 10%. So I've been blessed that I've had people like Eric, like Phil Baker at Hecla, trust the team that I built and the asset. And like I said, we've been very lucky with some drill results, and we've had to work very, very hard, but you know, it's nice that we're now being rewarded in the market.
Beginning to be rewarded. And it just, when I think of the institutions and the majors not snapping up this company at a lower price, obviously now it would be a substantial premium to market. But it reminds me, I built a house in New York, and I bought this piece of property, and my next door neighbor hated my house. And he said, you know, I could have bought that property for $60,000 and you paid six times that. And, you know, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I buy it? Then I wouldn't have to look at your house. And this is exactly the same thing. These institutions are going to be looking back, kicking themselves for not having bought these companies up, these projects, on the cheap when the opportunity was there. And, you know, when are they going to wise up? I don't know the answer to that. But obviously, projects like Dolly Varden's becoming increasingly harder to find, rarer. You can find them in jurisdictions, but they don't want you to drill. They don't want you to change anything. Or the locals are vehemently opposed to mining because of past transgressions. I just see what's happening. And if Eric Sprott is even close to $300 an ounce, all of these people are going to be these geniuses kicking themselves for not having taken the opportunity when it was there. And it's still there. Maybe not as good as 3 months ago, but the opportunity still exists.
No, 100%. Now, the good news for the larger companies is, you know, their share prices are moving higher too. And, you know, so it's on a relative basis, if they're issuing shares to acquire, you know, but I agree with you. And that's why 4 years ago, I came into Dolly Varden because I thought, you know, this is an opportunity where I've studied 100 silver projects in the last 4 years. And when I say studied them, I mean gone in with a team of engineers and geologists and finance professionals. And the one thing that I've come away from is silver, the projects that are out there, they're deep and they're narrow. And I think our greatest differentiator is we've got a ore body that's amenable to bulk mining. And that is a differentiator. The other thing is it's the grade of the ore body and the fact that the ore body goes to surface. I think those three factors make this a special opportunity. And it's not a coincidence that all of these smart, renowned precious metals companies or investors have come here. Like only 8% of the company is held by the public. And so I know why now, after studying it as hard as I have for the 4 years in silver, the 20 years in precious metals. Like I said, it's a binary business. The best projects get developed first, and then you have to go further afield, and you have to go, the low-hanging fruit's been picked. Because this is in the north, and this is like, I was listening to Doug Casey about 8 years ago. And I, you know, my kids were a lot younger than they are today. They were just, you know, one was coming out of diapers at the time. And I heard Doug Casey say, you've got to go, like, go to Africa. Go where the opportunity is. And I thought, I looked at my wife and I looked at my, at the time, you know, four-year-old and my six-year-old. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go north. We can no longer go west, right? So I was like, let's go north. And I got really lucky that the government, you know, there's that old Kevin Costner movie, Field of Dreams. And yeah. If you build it, they will come. And that's what the BC government did. The BC government put in the roads, they put in the power, they upgraded the deep water seaport, and they made it possible for a little company like Dolly Varden to go out and do some low-cost exploration. And it's incredible. It's incredible what's happened in the last 4 years.
Not to mention the current metals prices. Today, we're speaking of gold broke 2,400, hit 2,450, silver close to 30. They both pulled back a little bit to be expected in light of the run-ups that have happened. But that changes the economics of everything, doesn't it, Sean?
Well, I ran into Phil Baker, and it was last Friday, a week ago today, and the silver price was $27. You know, I think it traded through 29 today, but it had just gone from a low of 23 earlier in the month to a high of 27. And I asked Phil how that impacted his production. And he said that $4 move in silver from 23 to 27 was the difference of $75 million of free cash flow. And if you just think of, like, if you think of Hecla and you think of their production profile, that's one company in the space and that's a $4 move. That's how highly levered these things are to the metal prices. And if we got another $4 move and another $4 move, and, you know, when you know, around the time I was born, the price of silver was $50 an ounce.
I remember those days. I was a teenager then, but I remember it.
And this is where, Kerry, this is where... what led me to this opportunity was I was working on a gold project for 6.5 years. You know, we had built a gold mining company, and it took everything in us, right? We went from inception to a $1.4 billion market cap. And, you know, we needed the price of gold. Like, we made our shareholders a lot of money. Stock went from 7 cents to $5. But we needed a lot of things to go right. You know, the gold price went from 300 to 2,000. A lot of things went right. Kerry, I made more money speculating on silver stocks in 6 months than I did building that gold mining company where we had 600 employees and, you know, all this stuff, raised $500 million. Now, the lesson for me was silver outperforms gold, right? And so in that 2011 run-up, I thought to myself, if we get into another gold market, I need to go heavy in the silver. And that's why, you know, when I was getting convinced, because in 2015, gold bottomed 1,000, and we saw it run up to 1,400 there in 2016, I started wrapping my head around, okay, I think we're in the early days of a bottoming process, and it might take multi-years, but I need to get silver. And that's where I was, you know, I looked at all these different projects throughout the world, came across Dolly Varden, and I think for my investors who followed me here, I think it's going to be highly levered to the price of gold to move here. And I think, you know, silver has historically outperformed. It lags and then it outperforms. And I think we're setting up for that type of a moment. And the good news is, even with the gold price going to $24.50 today, silver at $29 is around a 85-to-1 ratio. Like, that ratio, Kerry, we're mining, for every 7 ounces of silver we're mining 1 ounce of gold. So that's the relationship from a mining perspective. From a what's the natural relationship in the Earth's crust, it's 1 to 15. Historically, it's been, you know, depending on how you want to, you know, what you want to talk, 5,000 years, it's been 15, 20 to 1. Last 100 years, maybe closer to 50 to 1. It shouldn't be 85 to 1.
No. Agreed. And it's trading at the 60% of its all-time high, whereas gold is making new highs, and it's an anomalous market, and eventually it's going to right itself. Well, Sean, it's been great sitting down, talking with you, getting your insights and your vision for the company. Really exciting times. I suggest you all go over to dollyvardensilver.com, sign up for notifications, ticker symbols in the U.S., D-O-L-L-F. And in Canada, it's DV. Sean, we will definitely be talking to you again in the near future, and be well.
Thanks for having me on, Kerry.
The Financial Survival Network.